Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of a Black Opinions Matter motherfucker. My name is Amin Ohassan. I'm joined as always by Big Jerv and Black Trey, Rob Lopez on production. Patreon.com/countthedings is the place where you go to sign up to be a Patreon. Trust me, you want to do this. You get access to all the exclusive content, like the Bomb Overflow episodes, like the Cinephobe Special Edition episodes. Last week, we dropped one, the 420 episode, where we did Half Baked, the Dave Chappelle stoner comedy, and the now newly rebooted live shows. We're doing live shows on Zoom every other Wednesday. We had one last Wednesday. We're going to have the next one coming up, Cinco de Mayo. So patreon.com/countthedings. That's the place you want to be. That's what you want to sign up for. Today's episode, obviously, we're recording on the day after the Oscars. So we'll talk about our buddy Trayvon Free, Academy Award winner now. If you didn't check out his appearance on Guts, growing up the same last Friday, I urge you to go ahead and check it out. It was on last Friday. It's literally the last interview I think he did before winning an Academy Award. So Growing Up the Same, shout out to Jason Madison and Trey, and of course, John Gervais on production over there, the interview, Trayvon. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about limos. When was the last time you saw a limo? Yeah, it's been a while for me too. We'll talk about the anniversary of a song that we all know and love from the group 112, Peaches and Cream. We'll recap Snowfall. As always, last week was a season finale. A lot of shit happening. Is everybody leaving Franklin by himself? How will he adjust to these new situations and ramifications? But we start with another week, another piece of sad news, the passing of legendary hip-hop icon Shock G.
What you doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangster Mac, but sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat, look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy, I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. I'm crazy, allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girls' pants, and I even got my own dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the Humpty.
Come on. Come on, I do the Humpty Hump. Check me out, y'all. I do the Humpty Hump. Just watch me do the Humpty Hump. Yeah. Do you know what I'm doing? Doing the Humpty Hump. Come on. I do the Humpty Hump. I do the Humpty Hump.
What are we talking? We're talking Snowfall and what? What was that the thing?
This nigga, man. Digital Underground, bro.
Shock G.
Shock G.
Shock G. The one of the set.
You know, did you guys see that video of him like breaking down kind of like what they talked about in the Biggie doc of him breaking down Biggie's cadence like a jazz musician too? But he did this in like 95 when he's talking about the differences between Biggie and Tupac. It's kind of crazy.
All of the Biggie versus Pac heads. First of all, Biggie's going to win hands down when you're talking flow. Strictly from a rhythm standpoint, Biggie is a swinger. He swings like a horn player over jazz. B-I-G-P-O-P-P-A, no info for the D-E-A. He put more emphasis on the He's just spelling his name. When people say Pac is the best rapper of all time, they don't just mean he's the best rapper. They just mean what he had to say was most potent, most relevant, and that he was the better human being. Tupac pulled from Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all the good speakers. Even though you was a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. It's like pouring those words out because you mean it.
And I'll be picking up the slack. It's time for the apocalypse now to grab the cat, rip the track. Cause it's all about making money, ain't a damn thing funny. What be up, sonny? I'll be like all in my business. Time to hit that shit. I'm ripping up the track cause I'll be down with the clicking. All my niggas in the house.
Pac rhymed from the pit of his stomach. Humpty Hump and Slick Rick rhymed from the nasal palate. Nas rhymes from the back of his throat. Pac rhymed from the pit of his stomach. You know what I mean?
Now, it's wild, like, hearing him break it down, analyze it, really, from a musical standpoint. That was kind of different. Also, I don't know what y'all took away from it. I took away from it that Biggie the better rapper.
I don't think anybody fighting that though.
Yeah, I mean,
I was gonna say who's
again, like how he expressed it again was like, you know, certain people that need motivation, shit. Like I said, most niggas that love Pac went to jail. You feel me? Like niggas be like, hey, I came home and I need motivation, nigga. Like them niggas start drinking and relate to that shit so hard.
Like
versus Biggie, you know, Biggie gonna paint the picture.
Yeah, y'all got on me when we had Mark on the show, and I think I delivered it wrong, but I still stand by my point. I think Pac was a poet on the mic, but I still stand by this. Name me, I'm not saying a Pac song that rolls, because there's plenty of them. There's plenty of banging ass Pac songs. But if I told you, yo, give me the verse where you like, yo, Pac killed this shit.
Killed what though? Like, as far as like
his lyrics. Like,
not because I'm never gonna feel that. Like, he just channels emotion. I'm not gonna be like, oh yeah, nigga, that nigga was flowing on this one. I'm never gonna say that. It's gonna be like, nigga, I won't deny it. I'm a fuck. Like, when that shit, when the beat alone gonna get me like chills. The next thing is like the energy. Like, Pac makes shit.
That
like
him and produce that song. Are you
no. Well, that's Daz, bro. But I'm just saying in general. I'm just talking about when the beat come on, and then when he follow up with his shit, it's all impact. It's like throwing an uppercut and landing that shit. The same thing with DMX. It's like, nigga, I don't listen to X to be like, oh, that nigga. You hear that nigga? Like,
but X rips songs though. X can flow though. X could flow.
I'm not saying he can't, but I'm not listening to that nigga for no bars. I'm listening to like, nigga, where he just, you know, he loud and impactful, nigga. He give me hype. My nigga, you listen to Pac or fucking DMX while you working out, nigga, you gonna get that shit done.
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna be sky is the limit and you know that we can have what you want.
I mean, yeah, but I throw in Kick in the Door and all that shit.
I'm not bump 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 bumps.
Yeah.
This goes out to you.
Biggie.
No, I'm not lifting to that while I'm lifting. I'll be in a whip. Like, if we about to go to drive to Philly, throw that big on. Come on. Throw that Nas on. Shit like that. I can, because that's Riders music. That's Riders music. The shit that I'm about to, nigga, if I put on Pac or DMX, nigga, hand me the burner. I'm about to go to jail. About to go to jail, my nigga. I'm about to let this shit ring out. Yo,
did y'all see how long, respectfully, did y'all see how long that fucking, the shit on Saturday was? Like, that shit was like 12 hours.
Oh, the.
What was on Saturday?
DMX shit.
Funeral.
Oh, I ain't watch it, bro.
I forgot.
Niggas was out here though. Niggas is out here in the streets making this shit crazy.
Shout out to Naima. She did live coverage on BET.
She was with Mark.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. That's right. Yeah, yeah. So that's dope, man. See her do her thing. Bomb alum. I guess it's a bomb member. We're still waiting for that Wednesday show to come back, but it'll be back soon.
Back hip-hop journalist Naima Cochran.
Hip-hop journalist, music journalist, actually.
Music journalist, sorry.
Yeah, give music. Her her flowers, yo.
No
give
hip-hop.
Her proper flowers.
You gotta give her all the
music.
Shit.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
My bad. Music. I tried to keep it black and keep it exclusive
to
us.
Remember she came on when we did, if you guys are new listeners, go back in the archive, look up that Motown episode that we did off the documentary about Motown. Naima was here dropping knowledge, dropping gems left and right about like the music program in Detroit high schools being the reason why they had so much talent coming out of Detroit in the 60s and the 50s or whatever. Just crazy stuff, man. She's so smart when it comes to the music industry. Love the inside, the workings, the history. I don't know anyone else out there who breaks it down as well as she does. So it was real cool to see she got an opportunity to be on BET showcasing her talents, even though it was for a sad kind of event, the you know, mourning DMX. But, you know, today we're talking about Shock G, another hip-hop legend. This is three episodes in a row, guys. Three episodes in a row. We lost a legend. And Shock G, I'm going to say it, underrated, man.
Absolutely.
Super Definitely. Underrated, you know, not just for his role in kind of discovering acts like Tupac and shining some light on acts like the Loonies and all that, but also just on his own merit as a lyricist. I can't remember who said it, but they pointed out, man, like Humpty Hump was funny and him messing around, but this dude could rap, man. He had his own catalog of just killing shit. Obviously, Digital Underground was like the West Coast group that had East Coast credibility because of the lyricism and the skill level of Shock G and the rest of the guys. So I don't know if you guys have any memories or whatever you want to throw out there.
Yeah, I mean,
remember this legend, this Titan.
You mentioned, you know, his contributions and things of that, of him being a lyricist, but I wanted to highlight his production, man. Like, yeah. He had his hands in a lot, bro. Like, a lot, you know what I'm saying? Especially, like, early on in Pac's career. And then, you know, obviously, with the Digital Underground, like, obviously, Sex Tapes is, you know, Sex Packets, sorry, was a great album.
Sex Tapes is a good, it's a different album.
Yeah, for sure, man. But overall, man, just his music genius. And I think that's a lot of people that didn't get to really highlight on it because he just was really chilling. He wasn't thirsty, even though, you know, he gave, you know, Pac his shot. And then obviously Digital Underground opened up for Ice Cube. You know what I'm saying? Like, just their impact, you know what I mean? Watching Nothing But Trouble, seeing them in there randomly. You know, you can just go down the line, like, how instrumental they were. You know, I was a huge fan of Digital Underground early on as a kid because I just, you know, I thought the Humpty Dance was hilarious as a young lad. You know what I'm saying? I didn't understand the whole concept of the fake nose with the glasses combo, but it's iconic nowadays. 57 is so young, man.
You know what's crazy, Trey, is that when it happened at the time, people thought that was a different dude. Kind of like when Cole came out with Kill Edward, people thought that was a different artist.
Yeah, they were saying that they never seen those two in the same place. And that was so funny, but it's like, yo, that's him.
It's him. It's just, he's just wearing glasses and a fake nose. Like, it ain't that hard to tell, but I guess back then that shit was so revolutionary that people were just blown away, man. They didn't know.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
You know, and I gotta word this correctly, but the one thing that I appreciate when, you know, always, it's always sad when legends leave the earth. But one thing I do appreciate is that it does always bring you back to their catalog. Cause a lot of times, you know, we forget, you know, not that we forget them, but, you know, so much music has come out since and you start to, you know, groove with certain things, but it's always amazing when you get, take the opportunity to look back and, you know, especially in Shock G's, in his instance, like, you know what I mean? If you just look at all the things, like you just highlighted, Trey, all the things that he's produced, all the things he's had his hands in, we forget those things, right? Like there's a tough generation of Pac fans that don't even, as crazy as it sounds, that don't even associate with him, that with him, because of the fact that, you know, whether it be, you know, the Brenda's Had a Baby and all those type things, which I'm not sure when, you know, the separation happened, but you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone pretty much associates Pac with Death Row. You know what I mean? You don't associate Pac with,
Underground.
Yeah, with Digital Underground. And I remember tripping out watching not the I Get Around video. What was that movie that came out? It had John Candy and all of them. But Pac was in it. And Digital Underground was in it.
Digital Underground performed the same song, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of the movie. Oh, man, what was that movie? I think I saw it for Cinefa, or did I just see it?
But Trouble.
It was Another But Trouble?
Yeah.
But that's what I said earlier.
Yeah.
My bad.
Nah, it's all good, bro.
Yeah, man. Where they go into the house and it, like they're on tour. So they just happen to stop by and they perform. Yeah, Pac in it. But yeah, no, go ahead, finish your point, Jer.
Nah, it's just, you know, it's you know, I think that, you know, we as fans, we as a podcast, just we as people, you know, I love how when our legends leave us, you know, we do a good job of remembering, you know, looking back at what they did and not just
settling for whatever it is, the little blurb that comes out, or the one or two things that, you know, people may say. You know, a lot of these dudes, man, that you know, whether it be X, whether it be a Black Rob, whether it be a Shock G, you know, I don't want it to be a whether someone else, but I mean, that's just life. You know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But you know, we do a very good job of going back and giving these people's flowers. We just have to do a better job of giving people their flowers prior. Cause he's one of the people, you know, X got his flowers, fortunately, you know, with the verses and things like that. Black Rob really didn't get his flowers prior to his passing. And Shock didn't get his flowers prior. We have to do a better job of, you know, and I don't know how we can do it, because you don't know when someone's going to pass. But, you know, a lot of these people, man, they've really laid the blueprint down for what we love today. They deserve flowers, man, because if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't be it.
But Jerv, here's the fucked up part. If I pick somebody, if I say, okay, Memphis Bleek, next Monday we're going to do Memphis Bleek Week. We're just going to play nothing but Bleek songs and reminisce. All y'all niggas are going to be like, don't want to hear that old shit.
That's a fact.
Everybody's going to tell me to go put on my Averex and my baggy jeans and go somewhere else with that. And so that's the problem. Like, we keep saying it, but nobody actually wants to do it. It's not even that people don't remember. It's that if someone does remember, we kind of shout them down and talk them down, or say that you just old or whatever, or out of touch, and nobody want to hear that stuff. And Trey, is that a bottle of champagne that you just drank, bro?
It is.
Oh, man. Oh.
No celebration at all. Just having some
Move. Hey, listen, brother, you know what I'm going to tell you.
Just having some food, bro. Yeah.
Jerv, Trey just said he drinking champagne because he Thursday.
Okay.
Hey, but to get back on the topic, man, I wanted to highlight.
Favorite
Shock G productions, bro. And it's highlighted by Andrew Barber from Fake Short Drive. Digital Underground, No Nose Job. Tupac, Fuck the World. That was hard too. They trying to say that I don't care.
Woke up screaming, not the world.
Yep. Tupac, I Get Around. He made that.
Yeah.
Yo, all fusion.
That is by far my favorite Pac song outside
It's a fun song. It's a fun song.
Let me take that back. Ambitions of a Ride is my favorite Pac song, but that's my favorite fun Pac song.
I Get Around is one of the jukebox songs that you can find at every karaoke, like the nationally known track for Pac.
Remember when we did the show when we were trying to figure out the songs that are always played at white bars?
I Get Around
is 100% that song.
Yeah, for sure. Raw Fusions, Rockin' to the PM. Loonies and Shock G, We Got More. Digital Underground, same song, which we mentioned. King Your Groove, Top of the World. Digital Underground, Kiss You Back. Kiss You Back was so crazy to me.
Kiss me and I kiss you back.
See, that's back when niggas were dancing. Yeah. See, that wasn't my era, bro. I'm a two-step man.
It's all good. Jerv don't dance.
I don't do all that bippity bop.
Look at Jerv.
No bippity bop over
Fun
here.
Police ass nigga, man. Digital Underground, Oregano Flow. And then number one, So Many Tears.
So many tears.
Wait, he produced that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Damn.
This brother was musical, man. Like
that, Long live the legend.
Yes, sir.
Like, what kills me though, like this, like I saw that video, Trey, after he passed away, and all I could think of is, man, not only obviously from actually making content, you know, he was amazing or whatever, but this is a smart dude who knew what he was talking about, man. Like, at the very least, this dude should have been guests on podcasts and
sick that we didn't get a Drink Champs from this nigga, bro.
We didn't get a bomb episode with this nigga, man.
I'm just talking
can
about
you imagine just, a sit down Naima and Shock G just talking shit,
mm-hmm.
just talking, man. So I don't know, maybe that's on us, man. We need to start, you know, that's what we need to do, instead of just saying, hey, let's talk about what album we liked or whatever. We need to start setting up some of these conversations,
just start tapping in with some of these legends.
Yeah.
That's good, just, bro.
Ask him questions, man. Cause
let me go get cannabis.
Can you?
I don't know. I mean, shit. You know how this shit works, nigga. We be having anybody on the pod nowadays.
Yeah, he had some problems, though. I don't know if he's stable enough, but
I got some questions for cannabis.
Yeah. Wait, what would you ask cannabis? What would be the first question you ask cannabis, sir?
Like, I gotta know, like,
bullshit.
No. Yeah, probably would be some bullshit.
Hey, man, did you be like, hey man, did you watch Southside on HBO Max? I love that new show.
Yeah, I did the same thing with What the Fuck Baron Davis too. I'm always catching shows like two fucking years.
Super old.
Yeah,
like y'all gotta watch such and such. Nigga, it came out 3 years ago, bro. We've seen it already.
Nah, you was on. What was the recent show? You fought for it. This nigga wanted the award for it.
What?
The second season that he just
Southside. Yeah, Southside. Yeah, it's about to come back out.
But it's like, it's not here though. Like, that's
he's so funny though. He was really fighting for that shit in the chat, y'all. You don't even understand.
I had just seen a homie, my man Marcus Matthews from The Undefeated had he tweeted it out like, yo, just found this show Southside. It's funny. So I said, oh, I trust him.
It is funny. Don't get me wrong. It's a great show.
You just was on the wrong type of time.
Yeah. You made it seem like this shit just dropped. I'm like, bro, I saw that shit 2 years ago.
Yeah. I remember the trailer. I didn't follow up.
I saw it too. And when I saw it 2 years ago, it had already been out. I binged it because it had already been out.
Yeah, I think it came on HBO.
Comedy Central.
Comedy Central. Yeah, I thought you was talking about, what was that show on Netflix that I recommended that you shitted on?
The Forrest Whitaker one?
Oh no, come on. Godfather of Harlem is a good show, bro. Don't do that.
No, you didn't mention that. It was like a movie, I think.
No. The show I suggested was it was trash too. The Sneaker Joint, Sneakerhead or whatever.
Oh, yeah, nigga, I should watch that. Niggas is not watching that. I'm cool.
I watched it.
Look, no disrespect to the actors.
I'm gonna say this.
Not for me.
Let me say this. This is what I'll say about about Sneakerheads. It wasn't a bad show, but it also wasn't quite a good show. Mm-hmm. It was like a very like pleasantly mediocre. Like if you're bored, you have it on in the background, it's all right. It wasn't like, oh my God, this is so corny, this is so whack. But it also wasn't like, I'm not recommending that to people. Yo, you gotta peep this shit right here. Mm-hmm. A show that we should be doing, by the way, I don't know if you guys are into this. I saw season one and I enjoyed it very much. And season two just started. Black Lady Sketch Show on HBO. You guys ever watch that?
You know, I just saw something on there.
I seen an ad run by it the other day when I was watching some shit, and I was like, it was interesting, but I'm down. Shit, it's whatever. Yeah.
Robin Thede is the creator, but she has a lot of guests. Like she'll have, you know, she had Issa on there. She's had Amanda Seals on there. Like it's a variety show. But Robin Thede, she's super funny, man. Like, she's super duper funny. And I really enjoyed season one. So let's give season two a try. It's just a sketch show, really. Okay. It's like SNL, but funny and with black women.
Hold up. I don't know, bro. What? I don't know. Because last time you suggested something.
What did I suggest last time?
What was the show?
The last show I suggested, bro, was The Good Lord Bird. So go fuck yourself, okay?
And that was actually...
No, the fuck it wasn't. You're not doing it. The last show you suggested was that show that had the dude that he was trying to battle being white and black or something like that. Like the... oh, my God.
Oh,
shit was trash.
With my nigga Lamore, you know what I'm talking about. What's Black Homie?
Oh, Woke?
Woke, yeah.
Lamore, yeah.
Yeah, we got like 2-3 episodes in. And if anyone's following the pod, you'll recognize we just stopped talking about it.
We didn't get 2-3 episodes in because it's a Hulu show. So all the episodes dropped. So we talked about it that one episode of Bomb and then never went back to it. I don't like the binge shows. The binge shows are harder to review because it's all at once. I like a show that come out once a week because that way we can react and take our time with it. If you notice, we haven't done any binge shows on this here program, Jerv. I don't know if you noticed. So
I don't think he noticed.
No, I don't think he noticed either. So as far as I'm concerned, the last thing I suggested was...
Oh, I love Jerv, bro. Jerv is my brother, man. He cracks me up, bro. Like, on accident.
I'm just saying, dog.
Are you funny on accident like Khaled? Like, Khaled don't even know he funny. You funny like that.
Yo, speaking of him, wasn't this the anniversary of when he got lost at sea or some shit? I saw Tens tweet that out like not too long ago.
Sick ass anniversary.
Like when he got lost at sea. That shit was crazy.
Yo, the nigga Jerby, yo. I love Jerv, bro. Jerv is the most random nigga, bro. I mean, that should be like 1:39 a.m. This nigga Jerv sent us the link. First of all, the Instagram link can say log in. So we don't even
know. I don't know. You know what? I don't know what's going on with that. No, I don't know why.
I tagged Jerv, but apparently this is something that's going around for everybody.
I think
Apple and Instagram are beefing again or some shit, man.
That annoys me because I have no desire to click on it.
Does it look like just a link for you too, Jerv, or do you see your video?
No, when I put it, it just says log into Instagram. But when you click on it, it works.
In that case, it's just Jerv then. Because obviously I thought like you guys were seeing my shit the same way. Like just as a video, but apparently not. Or just as a link when I saw a video, but apparently not. Apparently you guys are seeing actual videos from me and just links from Jerv. Jerv, what was that link that you posted? Remind me.
I think I posted brother, what's his name? What's my man from Philly? Umar.
Dr. Umar on the Breakfast Club.
Talking about he wanted him on Woke Bros.
Yeah, Woke Bros. I need that episode. Needs it. God,
Waz with Dr. Umar
would be gold.
Nando with him too. Yo, that's funny, man.
No, he wouldn't even let him talk.
Oh no, he thought he was just going. You saw Charlamagne was just like, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Just. I mean, like, this is probably the most good points he's ever made in like a series of talking right there, man.
It doesn't matter, bro. Every time I see him now. Yeah, I think about how he said he can't promise that he's not going to sleep with the moms. They go to his school.
Sick man, bro.
That was quite the disclaimer.
Such a sicko, man. All right, man. Speaking of shows, man, let's talk about Snowfall, bro.
Yeah.
The finale. Where were we at with this, man? Jerry, how'd you feel, bro?
So hold on. Before we go into that, I just want to point out that y'all niggas thought that Scully was just going to cry. I told y'all that nigga crazy, man. You gonna come back and get his revenge, man. Like he said, they killed my babies with an S.
Yeah, that was my fault. That was a Christian to me.
You and Jerv thought that nigga just gonna
hey, man.
Christ.
Listen, bro.
We was just gonna pray in his apartment.
Young, turn our cheeks, man. Pause if need be. Yo, but still, bro. Yes, some was gangster though. He pulled up with the sawed off joint.
What was he? Was he gangster?
That's gangster though. I mean, he went out Alton got him. That's weak to go out by Alton. But
I mean, he got taken out by Alton, bro. Like, was he gangster? Or like
to come to the crib and with the blicky?
Or was he gangster or was he just foolish?
Both.
Hey, of course. That, and by the way, those often run hand in hand.
That's real.
Right? Like.
That's real.
He knew what he was getting into.
If we talk about who's more gangster, if we have to rank who's the most gangster between Leon and Franklin, like you have to say Leon. But Leon just dumb though, which is what makes Franklin ultimately like a boss because he's smart about it. But yeah, man, no, my man came through and he hit him with the "I just want to talk," which is always great. Whenever someone got a gun, talking about "I just want to talk." I just want to talk to him.
He came ready to anybody was in the crib. It didn't matter who it was. He was killing somebody. He didn't care who it was. Somebody was dying.
That's what I was thinking about. Like, should Alton just have been like, hey, man, he's not here. Then I thought about it. They just killed this nigga whole family.
Yeah, he came to holler.
He's killing anybody he sees, man. There was nothing going on. He hit his old man. He hit his old man with the, if this shit don't get popping, I'm going to start killing people. Started with you. I'm like, damn, nigga, I'm on your side.
Like, bro, I was trying to help you out. Hey, you out here on your kill me.
On Cinephobe, we reviewed the movie Double Impact, the old Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Mm-hmm. And so the bad guy in that movie is Bolo. So when Jean-Claude Van Damme first show up to Bolo camp looking for answers, Bolo walk up, grab his own man, and kill him. And we were like, yo, that's the most gangster shit ever. If you want to prove to somebody you crazy and you don't want to fuck with me, what better way?
Like imagine coming to work, bro, just chilling. You don't even know you about to go because this nigga's
not even that. Imagine like you about to run up on some. Oh, this nigga, you want the smoke? You want the, you know how bad I want the smoke? And then you grab your own man and you kill him. That's how bad I want it. Like
that nigga's a sicko. Wow.
That nigga's sicko for real. Bolo, man. But yo, that's Scully right there. Scully was in his bolo mode.
Shit, sick, dog. Yeah, nah, for sure.
Did he die or we led to believe?
Nah, he did. He bled out.
Oh, he did bleed. Okay, he bled out. Okay.
Yeah, man.
I'm tripping. He bled out when he came to the hospital. Yeah. Yo, by the way, that scene when Jerome and old girl walk up in the club and they just got the whole look like, yo, nephew.
We out?
This is what it is. Yeah, we out. First of all,
I'm cool.
If Jerome's character in particular, Jerome from season one, when he was just dressing, you know, regular, to now he's got the sick furs with the fucking, with the rings and shit.
That nigga always drift out, man. That nigga.
Oh my God.
He loud as hell now in this season.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So when you gotta die soon.
When they went to the bayou to go see her family,
that nigga showed up.
With the mink, I'm like, nigga, you in Louisiana. What you doing?
And they say, yo, I ain't staying here. Y'all about to get a hotel.
At a hotel. Yeah. Nah, man. Drone changed. You changed, bro.
Oh, no. The money definitely changed that nigga. And I got hot for Franklin. Because it's like, nigga, I put y'all on. Despite the game, the stuff that comes with the game, now y'all want the up and the pay. No. Cool. It's a stressful life. But no, we ain't doing that. We ain't doing that.
I could see they was trying to bow out. First of all, Leon is a nut. Leon is a nut because Franklin done did all this shit for you, bro. And now you want to be like, yo, I went out.
I got on out.
I should have just let them kill you.
Bro, that shit hit me so hard. Like, honestly, Jerome and Louie, talking about they want to leave. I kind of see it because Louie in particular, she's like, y'all shouldn't do this. Don't do that. And they not listening to her and the shit fuck up. And then she fixing everything. So at some point, she's like, why am I taking orders from this nigga? Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that he's he originates the plug and we know and we get that, whatever. And Jerome, obviously, he gonna roll with his lady, especially after she got shot or whatever. It's not like he gonna be like, oh, nah, I don't think so. I'm gonna stay with Franklin. But Leon? Oh my God. After all of the trouble that we went through for this nigga, you know what it remind me of? I had a nigga ask me, yo, can you help me get tickets to the Suns game? Suns were playing the Lakers, right? Lakers were good, right? And I'm like, first of all, they don't like me down there. So this is already, I got to go through like intermediary and kind of do a whole lot of bending over backward or whatever. So I work, I get this shit done for, da da da. Like, okay, put him in this name, blah, 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 blah. Hit my man up. And he's like, oh, man, I ain't even in town.
Nigga.
And I'm just like, you're never getting tickets again, man. Don't ask me for shit ever again.
That's crazy. That would have hit me
it's
hot.
It's fucking insane. No, but and that's what I felt when I saw Leon say, you know what, man? I really don't want to do this shit no more. Like, nigga, what? You don't want to what? After all the dumb, not just like I looked out for you when everyone told me to give you up and shit. Not just that, but the dumb shit he was doing in the middle. While we're doing this, trying to protect him, this nigga acting reckless. And I'm like, now you want to be cool? Now you want to be chill?
Whole ass nigga, man. Whole ass nigga, bro. Whole ass
nigga.
That shit weak. Look, it's the way he said that shit. I love how Franklin growing up right now. He feeling all the pain. That nigga gonna be a villain in season 5. I can't wait because I need him to be ignorant. He played us all season.
Oh, when he pulled the Kaiser Sosa at the end?
It wasn't even that. It just was like, in general, this nigga always had it in him. But it just needed his team to show him what type of time they was on. You know what I'm saying? When shit got rough. As soon as his mama left, oh, I ain't got no worries. I no care, nigga. My mama gone.
He only has peaches left, right? Like that's literally all he has left. If we're to believe that everybody's gone,
yeah,
it's just peaches.
Sort of, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Peaches, but peaches a whole ass nigga too. He ain't really that.
Is he?
He
nah, not peach. Nah, no, don't.
He
don't,
cool. Peach. No, he loyal, but he ain't no muscle, bro. The thing is, I ain't rolling with him like that. Here's the thing.
Is it because his name is Peaches?
No. I ain't taking it away from him like that. I just look in the situation of, like, I feel like Leon would roll harder than Peaches in certain situations. But yeah. I hated the.
That's because Leon dumb.
That exactly. But you need a dumb nigga on your side. So the inconsistency that had me hot overall was the family switching up on him, bro. Like, Jerome and Auntie got me so hot because I'm looking at it like, these niggas did not. And we ain't even had the conversation that my mama gone yet. You know what I'm saying? They ain't even had that conversation yet.
He ain't even get to tell him that. That's crazy.
He ain't even get the chance to tell him that. So the fact that, okay, we need 50-something and da-da-da-da, and you the plug, and we don't want to be competition. The threats? I love the threats because that make that nigga look like, okay, because look, when season 5 start, first of all, he's going to be walking. So niggas think shit's sweet. Yep. Niggas, that's like going to be like Omar coming.
I thought that shit was kind of corny. Let me just say.
It was.
They put the cane down and all of a sudden this nigga walking like, ha, ta, ta, he's all healthy and shit. At least walk with a limp away. And then next season come back walking straight. But this nigga scrolled out.
But what if it was in a situation? Like, that's the thing. I think he was just trying to sell his weakness the whole time. And I think the symbol, like, I ain't trying to overthink it, but I think the symbolism was like, you know, the crutch of it was just kind of like him leaning on the family. And now he is his own man. Everybody turned on him. So it's just me.
He ain't got nobody.
But that's what I'm saying. That's all.
I mean, well, you know what? Let's not even say that because, you know the way the game work or whatever, allegedly, right? Like, the way the game works allegedly, he's going to have a whole new squad of motherfuckers.
Can I stick up for the other side here? Let me play devil's advocate. Ain't this what that nigga wanted? Didn't he want to be like above the street level shit and just operate as the plug, and then every different section and sector and gang, they're getting their drop from me wholesale. But I'm not doing the street shit.
In the great this words is just of, kinda, of a watch proverb, yeah. Every time I try to leave, something keeps pulling me back. For real, bro. Like, listen, I'm sure he wanted all that because ideally, I think he was busting his ass to get his mama out of there. And now his mama just like, all right, cut. I'm going here and you grown. I'm going to focus on mama. You know what I'm saying? And we ain't even got to, you know, Alton.
Let me ask you that.
Meet his maker. And
you keep referencing mama, right? Like, you keep referencing mama. With Alton meeting his maker, and I know we about to touch on that. Does mama come back in season 5?
Absolutely. And she going to let niggas what, you know.
She going to chill in Cuba, Derv? With you? Just back find, right now, look like
hell, hell yeah, hell yeah.
Listen, she gonna find Alton, nigga, with his shit in his lap.
Compton or Cuba?
Listen, I'm back to Compton, nigga. I only went to Cuba nigga, because I'm with my nigga.
Yeah,
she ain't gonna start.
That was the only way. That was the only way to save his life. That's why she went. She didn't go because she was on vacation.
And so gangsta. Well,
some dumb motherfuckers for thinking that shit was going to save his life.
But listen, the thing is, she going to come back and Franklin going to be so cold. He going to be so cold to the world. He going to cut everything off. He ain't going to love shit. I'm telling you. Because that just showed you like, oh, you chose this nigga over me. You chose Alton over me.
No.
I'm telling you, bro. I think you're right.
I think you're right. He's going to be cold because when she comes back, it'll have been however many months of this nigga living by himself without any of his support around him, right? No Leon, no Louis, no Jerome, no mama. Like, everybody's gone. So naturally, he going to harden and toughen up because, like, I ain't got nobody, right? I don't have that support structure. But I don't think he's going to hold a grudge against her for going to Cuba because that nigga was like that. That nigga didn't object in the moment.
I don't think he had a choice. He knew. Though. I don't think he had a choice.
But no, I mean, he did. He had a choice. He could say, all right, fucking kill my dad. I don't give a fuck. But the reality is he did give a fuck.
Yeah, he gave
a fuck. No matter how tough he went.
He gave a fuck about family in that situation, obviously, because of the flashbacks and who my daddy is and all my daddy did. Yeah. And that shit stuck with me. But, you know, showing that the niggas left, seeing that flame take off, it just created a different type of animal, my nigga.
You think nigga,
he ain't in love with his mama, but he love his mama. And the fact that his mama chose out and over him. Trust me, fam.
I don't think it's that, bro.
I might be loud and wrong. I'm Brandon Marshall, this motherfucker. Fuck it. Shout out to Brandon Marshall, by the way. Watch your shit.
Let me ask you this. You think, because I feel like I'm hip. I thought there was no way in hell that Alton was just going to go to Cuba and it was going to be all good, especially when my man Teddy, literally 30 seconds after the plane roll, yeah, so I'm about to take this trip for a little bit. I'll be back. Like, listen, Franklin knew, right?
You know you can't trust Teddy anyway.
See, I think...
But I don't think Franklin know that his daddy going to go down by Teddy.
Oh, if he did... If, no. Well, I mean, I
if think... If he like, didn't, I'll lose respect because he had to know.
But like, it's funny how they talked up Cuba as being this like untouchable place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, CIA would never do anything in Cuba.
Because, you know, Asada and, you know, if you go down to like the real Panther how they was trying to sell it. But yes, niggas is touchable for sure.
Why wouldn't he just go somewhere and not broadcast to Teddy, the person he's running away? Like, for me, If I got beef with you and I'm fearing for my life, the last thing I'm going to do is be like, all right, yo, I'm about to dip to North Carolina and just fade to black. You'll never hear from me again. Well, no, because I just told you where I'm about to go and we have beef. Yeah. So you're going to pull up. Like, that was the dumbest thing.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah, he should have said I'm going to Cuba and then gone to France or some shit like that.
Right? Just kind of like...
They ain't letting no black
hit,
man...
Hit
no
niggas with the Game Day 98 juke or something.
Oh, man.
He said they ain't letting no black niggas in France. Shut up, Jerm.
Not no Black Panther.
Jerm, you don't even know what that shit was, probably, bro. Nigga could have went over there.
Shit, let a nigga pull up with an afro. Turn his ass right the fuck around. Go back, bro.
Jerm, go Google niggas in France, bro.
Yeah. Jerm, what do you think... Rudy Gobert and Mikael
Pietrus. He's not light skinned.
Mikael Myers.
Ronnie Turiaf.
Hey, only the listeners going to get the Mikael Myers reference.
Oh, my God.
This nigga acting like James Ball wasn't over there, nigga. Doing his West Side with a fro. Your lexicon sucks.
Hey, Trey.
What's
that's
up,
that HBCU education.
Don't do that. Here you go, bro.
They ain't have books. They ain't have books. Have to share that.
He ain't know how to explore.
We at homecoming, like though. Oh,
man. that's where all the budget went. That's where the budget went. the budget went to homecoming.
I love when it means shit on HBCUs, man.
I'm just saying, man. It looks like a lovely time, but like also... I would hate to pay $35,000 a year for that shit. maybe that's just...
Hey, man. Listen, bro. Y'all some sick men.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people... not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even at the gym. People, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes. Unplug your vape. Throw out your dip and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Right now, bomb listeners. That's right. This podcast that you're listening to, Black Opinions Matter. You guys all go to Lucy.co and use promo code BOM to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's Lucy, L-U-C-Y, checkout.co and use promo code BOM at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code BOM. I'm looking through the chat right now, trying to remember what else we talked about that happened. Apparently, this year, 20 years ago, this week, Peaches and Cream came out.
Bro, that destroyed me a little bit. Because that was one of those, yeah, nigga.
Bro, I'm going to put it to you even crazier. I'm going to put it to you even crazier. 33 years ago, this week, on TV, The Wonder Years came out.
Shouts to the Wonder Years.
What's up?
I said shouts to the Wonder Years. That means
shouts to the Wonder
Years. I was but three. No,
but check this out. Check this out about The Wonder Years. The Wonder Years came out in 1988. And it was about things that had happened in like 1968. Mm. So that means if we had a new version of The Wonder Years right now, it would be things that happened in 2001.
Oh my God.
It would be like instead of what would you do if you sang out of tune, the theme song would be Peaches and Cream. You know what I'm living in the limousine. This is how old Peaches and Cream is. These niggas is talking about limousines. When was the last time you saw a limousine? Right? Like
J, the O, the H, the N.
Niggas don't even get limousines for weddings anymore like that.
Yo, bro. the last time I rode in a limousine was 2009. The NBA draft. 2009,
did,
nigga.
Did you stand out the sunroof? Like
nah, but around? it had some sick ass lights in there. And first of all, it was so funny. Shout out to my man Sam Cash. Had rented it for the night. We're in New York, hitting every party, but pulling up in a limo. And I thought that shit was the craziest shit ever because I think we paid this nigga like this was pre-Uber, all this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Paid this nigga 100 cash to just drive niggas around New York City.
Yo, okay, let me tell you right now. Cousin Proofy, 30th birthday, 2009. That's the last time I was in a limo. July 4th, 2009. We got a limo for his birthday, picked us up at my crib right here where I'm at right now. And then we picked up everybody else. And then we rode to Old Town Scottsdale, man. Like
legendary.
Deep in there.
See, 09. Yeah, 09 probably went the death of the limousine.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to throw way back. For any of the listeners who are from the greater Phoenix area, you'll recognize the name of this spot. We went to Dirty Pretty. Y'all don't remember Dirty Pretty. Dirty Pretty was this bar in Old Town where on Friday nights, it was all you could drink effing vodka. Like you paid.
Effing,
You paid like 20 bucks or whatever, 30 bucks. And then it was just all you could drink, effing everything. Effing soda, effing crayon, effing whatever. The only thing you had to pay extra for was you got Red Bull. And so we went there. I think we got a table though. But wait, did we get it? We got a table, but somehow we still didn't have a bottle. We just kept getting it from the bar.
I know y'all waitress was mad as shit.
Yeah, man. But still, we left a good tip, but, yeah, man, limousines, man. Like that doesn't.
What a time, bro! What a time.
I don't remember the last time. I don't remember the last time I was in a limo, but the first time, it was my prom.
Prom.
We had rented. We rented the Stretch Nav. The Stretch Nav from the Big Pun video, yeah. And I definitely was standing outside the motherfucking sunroof. Riding all through my school was in North Philly, the hood, but it was a prep. I went to St. Joe's Prep, the whitest of white schools that you can go to, but it was in the hood. We are riding through the hood. We pull up, it's called Club McDonald's, right? Like we joked about Club Fridays last week, but Club McDonald's, it was a spot.
I've never been to Club McDonald's.
Oh, bro. Look, anybody from Philly will tell you Club McDonald's and Club Rite Aid were the craziest shits you can go to. So in Philly, it was Broad Street. There's this McDonald's on Broad and I forget where it's at or whatever. But literally, probably around 12-ish, 1 o'clock at night, everybody just comes out there and you just stand. You drive up and down the block. Women are walking up and down. You got your fresh lay on or whatever. And there's a Rite Aid right next to it. And that was the only part of the city where the cops wouldn't kick us out and tell us to go home. So we literally rode up and down the block in this stretch there.
Just wasting gas.
Where am I gas? I paid by the hour.
That's fair. That man said, what my gas? I love how proms were associated with limos, though. Because they're still a thing, but no, not for kids.
Nah, they get like fly cars now.
Listen, they out here getting renting Bentleys and all kind of shit and shit like that. But like
badass kids.
The last time, so my senior year, I think I had a Sebring. Yeah. It's fucking Sebring 2003, bro.
Laptop?
Yeah. Yeah. All white Sebring, and I wore an all white suit with a white fitted and some white forces. But, and obviously my suit was baggy as fuck, like a fucking NBA draft. But the year before, we took a limo and Ray J came to our champagne party.
Wait a minute. Ain't that Brandy's brother?
Yes.
If I had one wish.
So it was so crazy just thinking about like that. And then also just kind of mobbing with the whole NBA draft and mobbing around New York City. And I felt like, you know, the What Means the World to You video.
Yeah. What means the world to you?
I always thought that was kind of sick too, where you think about stretch limos with jacuzzis in them. That was some rapper shit.
That was some rapper shit. What now we do, I think about it, like this is like the least convenient thing ever. Like
I'm can't be so big.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's just like, what do I do now? We've reached our destination. Do I towel off in the car? Yeah. I changed. I got to put on some dry clothes. Like it just doesn't seem like I'm just like, why would we do that? But yeah, man, shout out to limousines. Shout out to Peaches and Cream being 20 years old, man. And shout out to Peaches and Cream being the theme song to the Wonder Years if the Wonder Years came out right now. It's crazy, man.
They have to do a reboot. That has to be in the works.
Please. So funny thing about it.
What it would be, a 9/11? Like, I feel like this shit is.
Peaches and Cream was a two-way alert. Peaches and Cream. That shit. MIDI tone.
No, I'm going to tell you what the two-way alert.
POV Anthem.
What?
Tom Murder, POV Anthem.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh,
the one was, what do you call it, man?
You about to say some Soulja Boy shit?
Nah, man, you got to listen. Here we go.
It's the mic is cutting it.
It ain't start yet.
Hold the bottom of the phone up.
I am the Mr. Big Ghost Gun Beats.
I remember that shit. Ain't nobody buying Ty Murder Crack Child, yo.
I remember the video.
Hey, I had that shit, and that shit rang out in math class and algebra. Trayvon was in the class. We all had two ways. Shout out to Trayvon Free. Oscar winning.
Let's wrap up with some Oscar talk real quick here. First of all, shout out to Trayvon Free and Van Lathan and everybody else who's associated with Two Distant Strangers who won the Oscar. If you haven't listened to the Growing Up the Same episode that dropped Friday, just 3 or 4 days ago, Trey, Jason Madison, the last two human beings to interview Trayvon Free before he became Oscar Academy Award winner, Trayvon Free. So definitely check out that episode. Great episode of Guts. You can get that on the Bomb feed or on the Guts feed. We prefer Produced by John Gervais. That's right. So congratulations to everybody all around. Really quick, what did y'all think about, I'm not going to say about the Oscars, that's just too big, but like Lil Rel walking around doing trivia time.
I ain't peeped none of that shit. I just was getting texts. Everybody like, yo, your friend won. And I just stopped what I was doing. And just was hype, bro. I hit Trey and, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Samir, KD, Mike Conley, Rich Kleiman, so many people involved in that situation. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just happy, bro. He brought that shit back to Compton. Sky's the limit for that dude, bro. I know he actually kind of spoke that out into existence. He had a tweet from 2013 saying,
yeah,
you know, like once I get the Oscar, I can retire. Two Emmys, well, Oscar.
Well, Van had the same thing. Van has the text he posted, the text exchange. They're like, yeah, we're going to win an Oscar off of this shit.
That's and killer.
Like, yeah, man.
Sometimes you just know. And I'm glad the committee agreed.
All I'm gonna say is I'm not into award shows, but Trey, you scared the shit out of me when you tweeted it out and put the asterisk saying Oscar winner with the tweet to the show. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, I fucked up on the tweet.
Fuck. Nah, we were just updating the bio, bro. We was updating this, it. You know what I'm saying?
This nigga German. Oh shit.
Damn, that's from last Friday. I can't change this one.
Yeah, that's sick.
It's too late.
Yo, his sneaks were fire though, bro. His sneaks were fire. That he had on too. By the way,
did y'all see like the party? Because this is how it is for the Oscars. Really, typically, it's the main people will go to the. Now, obviously, last night was different because of COVID or whatever. But typically, even it's like the main people associated with like the producer, the director, the star, or whatever. They'll go. But everybody else who had like the crew and the rest of the cast and shit, they're all at a party that the studio is throwing for them, a watch party. And so that's where Van was. And he posted the video when they got the announcement and everybody going nuts in there. It's funny. Obviously, KD wasn't there. Mike Conley wasn't there. But I wonder what feels better. Would it be winning an NBA championship or would it be winning an Oscar? What party would feel better?
I think the Oscar party would feel better. But from a resume standpoint, for what you do for a living and not a like side hobby, the championship is probably going.
Yeah. Well, also, there's only one NBA champion, right? And yeah. There's like.
But it's a bar to have, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They join Kobe and shit. And you know what I mean? Like, dude, KD is having a crazy fucking year. You know what I'm saying? Like off the court. So when you think about, what were you gonna say?
No, he dropped like you said off the court and then kind of invalidated. But he dropped 33 points on the Suns and then went to Oscar later that night.
Like that's fucking killer. Like just be like, oh, and yeah, I got that too. That's in the bag. You feel me? But nah, I mean, shit, man, that shit gotta be a amazing feeling, bro. Just to just be a part of something special. And I remember the first time I got a chance to watch it, you know, early before it rolled out. And, but it was one of those situations of obviously being quiet about it, but like watching it and like texting him live while I'm watching it. And I'm like, yo, I'm really tired of these type of narratives because these movies aren't made for us, but this one was important. Because it was kind of like Groundhog's Day and then a black man trying to make it to the crib, trying to make it to, you know what I'm saying? So like, you know, I thought it was, you know, I seen a bunch of people on the timeline like, oh, I ain't watching this. And I'm like, bro, it's the important film, bro. Cause you know, shouts to Joey Badass. He acted his ass off in that shit. Yeah. But you know, just a diabolical part of just even, you know, Trayvon even just have an idea to even, you know, flip it the way he did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? On the writing, you know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to them.
Yo, Joey Badass, low-key, pretty good actor, man. Like, he's
absolutely. Like, I wouldn't mind sending him in some shit.
Right? Like, he's, you know, he was in Two Distant Strangers. He was in Mr. Robot. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Show back when did Mr. Robot? Like 4 or 5 years ago. He was in that Wu-Tang kind of scripted series, An American Saga.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like the nigga really like, I'm like, yo, for like we often kind of laugh whenever a rapper trying to act, but like he can actually act.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. We should have him on Guts.
That would be dope. I don't know how I'm going to get in touch with him, but I'm going to try.
We'll figure it out. Just like when we get cannabis, right?
Absolutely.
we'll get cannabis and we'll get Joey Badass. All right. Y'all want to wrap it up here?
Yeah.
I think we got enough here. All right. Let's end it up here. Once again, thank you Big Jerv, thank you, Black Trey. Thank you, Rob Lopez. Thank you to you, the listeners. As always, patreon.com/countthedings. Become a Patreon, support us, and we will give you the extra content. I know last week we dropped that April 20th episode of Cinephobe of how, not how high, but we did Half Baked. Yeah. So, and we're doing the live shows last Wednesday. We had the live Zoom party for all the Patreons. Everybody really loved it. So make sure you're a Patreon. Patreon.com/countthedings. We'll talk to you guys next week. Stay black, motherfuckers.